Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart. So, Paul, what a blessing to have you here tonight, you and Marianne. And why don't you come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart and be a blessing to us. God bless you. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
Amen. Good to have
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to see if this thing here works. Got the mics working. We're good. And I'm technologically challenged. I remember back when I was a young fella and personal computers were first coming out, went to PC Warehouse one time. Somehow I messed my computer up so it wouldn't work with the monitor. And the guy there, we get the thing fixed, and I go to pick it up, and he says, says to my wife here, says, "Okay, now it's all fixed. You put a password on there and don't tell him what it is." So I'm hoping this works. I've never had success with one of these, but maybe this will be my first tonight. We're going to be in John chapter 6 tonight. We're going to be starting in the beginning there and then jumping into the episode a little later as well. And just focusing on this idea of the bread. And you know, Jesus says in John chapter 6 that he is the bread of life. And so we're going to take a look at this from a couple different perspectives, and I hope this is a blessing to you. But let's have a word of prayer before we start. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessing, for your word, for these things that you set before us to teach us. Lord, for the examples of people and for the words of wisdom from Christ himself, Lord, that are recorded for us to read, to learn from, and to form our character through. We pray it help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be in John chapter 6, and I think all of you will be familiar. I hope you're familiar with this, the first story, which is the feeding of the 5,000. I want to start here with a quote. This is from John Hagee. He said, "Attempt something so great for God, it's doomed to failure unless God be in it." And I would often see that in Pastor Spear's tagline. And it is. It's, you know, sometimes we say, "I can't do it. I can't do it." But you're in a situation where, well, somebody's got to do something, and you attempt to do something, and the Lord enables you, and the Lord will enable you to do above and beyond what you're able to do. So we'll start with that thought, and then we'll jump in here. Now, John 6, 1 to 14. This story of the feeding of the 5,000 is one of very few stories that is in all four Gospels. As a matter of fact, if you look at it, the only other stories that we find in all four Gospels are right around the Passion Week, where involving the crucifixion of Christ and the trial of Christ and Palm Sunday and that. We see those occur. We see this. There's an allusion to the death of John the Baptist, but this particular episode is the only story that is in all four Gospels. So it's got to be important. It's got to be important from that perspective, or the Lord wouldn't have put it in there. Now, if we look at it, I have a book called Four Portraits, One Christ. And it's, you know, each of the apostles or the authors of the Gospels takes a little bit different approach as they approach the story of Christ. And they're carrying a little bit different message. When we look at this, there's something here it's going to be absent in the Gospel of John, which is everything that happens with the beheading of John the Baptist and the death of John the Baptist. We see that portrayed in Matthew and in Mark quite clearly. And then when we look in Luke, if we look at Luke 9:7, we'll see that Herod, he uses this word perplexed. He says Herod's perplexed because he's starting to hear rumors that John the Baptist has risen from the dead. And oh, this Jesus guy, some people are saying this is John the Baptist and he's risen from the dead. And if you remember the story of when Herod had John the Baptist beheaded, he was reluctant. He didn't want to do it. He was sorry. He kind of got backed into the corner. So there's a little bit of fear there from John the Baptist, about John the Baptist from Herod, that, hey, maybe this guy was something from God. Maybe he did come back from the dead. So he's perplexed. And it says he's perplexed. So he sought to speak with Jesus. So, you know, he wanted to check on this. Now, if you were Jesus, at least from a human perspective, that's probably the last guy in the world, you know, you would want to spend any time with, right? So those stories are absent here. But when we do look at what occurs here as this feeding of the 5,000 unfolds within the Gospel of John, there's one thing that's in here that's not in the other Gospels, and that is the fact that when the disciples come, so what's happening? Okay. All the people come after the beheading of John the Baptist. Jesus decides he needs some alone time. He wants to get alone. You can understand that. He would want to mourn. John the Baptist was the harbinger of him. He's also his cousin. He's a relative. It's somebody that he knew. So he wanted to get away. He wanted to get alone. So we see that. He goes to get alone, and everybody follows him. So he's got 5,000 people following him. And then they start to say, all right, Jesus, we need to send these people home. And Jesus says, no, let's feed them. Okay, let's feed the people. And when we see it portrayed in the other Gospels, it's, well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, okay? We have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. John the Baptist adds a small detail here. He adds the detail that this comes from a young lad, okay? The word there would be exactly the same word that, you know, the episode where Jesus says, let the little children come to me, and sits them in his lap. Okay, so this is a younger fella, that shows up with these 5 loaves and 2 fishes, gives them to Philip, and Jesus blesses it, and Jesus uses it in this miraculous feeding of the 5,000 people. So I have the first truth I wanted to share from you is, since you can't share what you don't have, okay, share what you have. So who's the star of the day in this story? Well, obviously the star of the day is Jesus, because he multiplies this, but there's a little boy. There's a boy with faith, and the boy has faith. He comes, and he says, hey, this is what I have, and he offers it up. Now, there are people, from the world that will say, okay, what's going on here? Is this a sacramental thing? Like, well, everybody just takes a teeny, teeny piece of bread. And it's very clear that that's not what occurred. Because when we get to the end of this story, we'll see that Jesus, in fact, greatly multiplies what this young boy brings. Now, I have a little question I threw out here. Okay, think about this. Now, when we say five loaves of bread, typically we're thinking about, they call them barley cakes. Not like a big loaf, but, a smaller roll. But still, why does the boy have five loaves and two fishes, right? If he's just coming to this thing, did his mom pack him five loaves and two fishes? I did a lot of exegesis on this, and what I discovered was his mother was Italian, okay? And so, she is not going to let that kid run out of food. So she packs five loaves and two fishes, and don't call me out on that. That's you're going to have to hunt high and low for that in the text. But, he, for whatever reason, this is what he has, and he offers it. Now, will it be enough for 5,000 pieces, for 5,000 pieces? And some people say, well, this is all multiplied when Jesus blesses it, because he brings it up and they bring it to Jesus, he blesses it, and they put it in 12 baskets and he sends them out, okay? So if you think about this in your head, though, say he sends out to the 5,000 people, he sends out the 12 apostles, they're each going to have to be carrying enough in that basket to feed, a couple hundred people. So that's not what happened. He sends it out, and somehow this is miraculously multiplied, and everybody eats. They're satisfied, and what comes back seems to be more than what went out. And so what's the importance of that? Well, what you're witnessing here is what occurred at creation. It's creation ex nihilo, is what we would say. It's something that's created from nothing. Somehow Jesus miraculously made more and more bread appear as this is unfolding. And when we see this, so if we look at some of these explanations, some of the scholars would say, well, what happened was a lot of people had bread with them, and they felt a little guilty, So they coughed up their bread and threw it in the baskets. And that's what happened. It was really the lesson was, not to hold out, and that's what they're teaching. Well, when we get to the end of this story, in John 6:14, what they say here is, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. So they recognize Jesus Christ as the prophet. And when we see that, the prophet, this is the prophet, like the one that's prophesied way back by Moses, one who is going to bring in and usher in the kingdom. And he is truly the Son of God. As we see, he's not only able to do that, but he's able to, create out of nothing. So when they witness it, they see him for who he is. So my lesson number one, when we look at that, is, quite simply, take what you've got. The boy, he didn't have enough for the problem, but he said, I'm going to offer. I'm going to give what I have and let the Lord do with it what he can do with it. And often we are confronted with a task that is beyond us. And God will enable us to do great things. I used to help go down to Christ's home there, and it was Warrington, I guess it was, and it was like an orphanage, and I remember offering to help down there. And I'm not the most mechanically inclined guy, but I can still remember going there, like everything I touched worked. You know, I'd like fix the door and it would stop squeaking and open and shut. And if I do that at my house, it would be worse, you know, when I'd get done than when I started. So, you know, take what you've got, you know, give it to the Lord, put it, and let him do with it what he will. So the first lesson I have up for you there is, you know, to share what you have, okay? So we have this young boy comes up, offers his meager thing, and Christ does incredible things with it. So he finishes with this miracle, and we'll get you to lesson two. We'll be jumping down to verse 25 in your text. But he does this miracle, and then, you know, they see him as the prophet, and it says in verse 15 there, "Therefore, when Jesus was perceived, they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." So Jesus said they recognized who he was and they were going to make him king, but he knew his time was not yet come. Getting a little heady on the slideshow, but that's okay. And so he departs and goes away alone. Then we have this little episode intercede where they take the boat to the other side, and then you know, they're fearful because of the weather, and they see Jesus walking out on the water. Now we're going to kind of skip over that whole episode because you people in Flemington, after just having come through February, realize it's not that big a miracle to walk on the water, right? You know, you can get away with that at least for a month or two here. Don't start doing it too late or you're going to get yourself in trouble. But that episode ends, and then so Jesus ends up going over to the other side. On the following day, verse 22, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one that the disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came to Tiberias near the place where they ate bread and gave after the Lord had given thanks. So when the people saw that Jesus was not there, they also got in their boats and went over to Capernaum. So Jesus tried to get away, and again, you know, they're following. And I think this is what's interesting here. Verse 25, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?'" And so my next lesson from this is don't ask the wrong question, okay? So they ask him, "When did you come here?" And as is often the case when Jesus gets into these conversations with people, everything goes a totally different direction than what they're doing. So they're trying to say, "Hey, Jesus, when did you come over here?" But he knows their thoughts, verse 26, and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." So he calls them out on their motive and says, "Look, you're just coming over here because you want more bread. You know, you're asking the wrong question." If we look back to John chapter 4, verse 10, we can see, let's go take that up. So he says, you know, you're asking these questions because, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves. Okay. John 4, verse 10, if you're familiar with this episode, this is when Jesus confronts the woman at the well. And at the end of that episode where Jesus says, give me water to drink, okay? And the woman, again, she asks him a question and she says, how can you ask me for a drink? I'm a Samaritan. And Jesus answers her and he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So what Jesus is telling the people, the question you're asking, the goal you're trying to get at is the wrong thing. Just like the woman at the well. He said, you know, you're wanting to, I don't want to have that work to have to draw water. They want to be fed. He says there's something more important than the bread. And what is that thing that's more important than the bread? Well, it is, we'll see in John chapter 6, that is Jesus Christ himself, okay? So the people come over, we see in verse 5, they ask that question. And he says to them, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Okay, so here we see Jesus says, okay, stop thinking about the bread and start thinking about what's important, start thinking about what endures to eternal life. So he's trying to shift their focus to eternal life. And again, they come back with another question in verse 28, and they say to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So the lesson 3 I have for you, okay? The first lesson was, since you can't share what you don't have, okay? Share what you have. Lesson 3 is just simply, you can't share what you don't have. And the thing about trying to share the gift of eternal life, okay? Trying to share the gift of eternal life is you can't share it unless you have it. So the first thing you need to do is ask the Lord for that. And their question was, okay, so what do we got to do to work the works of God? And he says, well, you can't. You can't work the works of God until you've believed. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Okay, so he says, this is your work. Believe in him whom he sent. Believe on Jesus Christ. So we need to do that. So we need to recognize that there's something far more important than our stuff. You know, we often pray, you think about the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. But what is it that we really, really need? And what we really need is Jesus Christ living in us, living through us. So if we can't share what we don't have, it's important to have that. Verse John 6:35, Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I have said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. So Jesus says to them, I'm the bread of life. Believe on me, okay? And he says that if you believe on me, you'll never hunger. And he means that in a spiritual sense. You know, you will always be hungry. You will always be unsatisfied. If you're seeking for that spiritual fulfillment in anything other than the person of Jesus Christ. So we need to know that. That's the beginning point to have a purpose in life, is Jesus Christ. Think about it, you know. What if you had $1 million in gold, you know, $1 million in gold coin, but you were stranded on a desert island and there's no food? You know, that's what it's like to have all the worldly goods there are, and yet you have them without Christ. So what's important to us above and beyond our daily physical needs is that spiritual need, that need for Jesus Christ in our life. So that's my lesson three. Can't share it if you don't have it, okay? And then we're on to lesson four. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So my last lesson from that is that we should share the bread of life. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, that should be something we have a desire to share. And as you're going through the missions conference, you see the way, you know, you as a church body and you as individuals are able to help. You know, you're able to help a little bit with these people that are perhaps carrying the gospel somewhere where you can't go. On the other side of the coin, you're here in Flemington and this area, and every day you encounter people who need Jesus Christ. You know, you encounter them. And if we're not sensitive to it, you know, we ignore those opportunities. You know, you're a missionary just as much as somebody on the other side of the world is. You know, you have everything they have in that, you know, you have the Word of God, you have Jesus Christ, if you've believed on Jesus Christ, and you have everything you need to be able to share the gospel. So we need to just have a tender heart where we're asking the Lord for opportunities, eyes that are open to share the opportunities. And that would be my big challenge for you tonight is, you know, my whole premise is share what you have, you know. And you may not be the greatest orator in the world. You may not be able to explain things perfectly well or hold a good argument. But if you have a compassionate heart and you can do things that show, you know, tenderness to people, you create an openness for that. So I would really challenge you to do that going forward. And then I'm going to ask our sound guy to bring this down a little bit. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit more about my journey, what the Lord's been doing with us. Hopefully this will be a blessing and a challenge to you and an encouragement to you. And one of the big things I'd start when I get to this point, sometimes you'll say, oh, I can't do anything. I can just pray. That is awesome. You know, when I look at the ministry we've gotten involved.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.